If you knew how much I love to preach and to teach and to declare the Word of God, you wouldn't ask that. But I am going to adjust things just a little bit today, because if I were to bring you the message that the Lord had given me for today, at least I thought it was for today, we would still be here an hour from now, and gosh, I do so dislike having people walk out while I'm preaching. And so I think what I'm going to do is just take a portion of that and bring this truth today. Turn with me, please, to the book of Jeremiah, the 6th chapter. And if the rest of this is still alive next week, I'll bring it next week or sometime later. I think I told you before that I have a whole file of messages that I have prepared in the past, that one thing or another would happen in the service, and I didn't have an opportunity to bring it, and so I just put a staple in it and stick it away in the file. And occasionally those will be brought back to my remembrance, but most of them just stay there. That may be what happens to this today, I'm not sure. Jeremiah is customarily referred to as the weeping prophet. He was a weeping prophet because he was called to prophesy to a people that were at that time deeply and terribly backslidden. They were a people that God said would likely not listen to his voice. He warned Jeremiah that he should not watch their faces while he was speaking to them, because the looks on their faces would discourage him. He said that he was with Jeremiah, and that was all he would need, that the message of Jeremiah was to return to the Lord from their backsliding. And I had in mind today, this being the first day of the new year, not to encourage you to make new resolutions, because New Year's resolutions, very few of them are ever kept. I have in my mind today to make a lifetime resolution, not a New Year's resolution. And that was really the thrust of what, or renew the resolution perhaps that you'd already made. Let me begin to read in chapter 6 at verse 9. The Lord speaking through Jeremiah the prophet to his people Israel. And we get down here when I want to concentrate on one verse in particular. And basically what we'll do is we'll give you a sermonette this morning, okay? Sermonettes for Christianettes. Do we have any Christianettes here today? I'll give you a sermonette. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. This was what I intended to spring from this morning, that Israel's problem sprung from the fact that they did not have an appropriate regard for the word of God. The thing that had caused them to get off course was that they had no delight in the Word of God. In fact, not only did they not delight in it, you know, if you delight in something, you spend time in it, don't you? You spend time with it. If you delight in golf, you spend a lot of time on a golf course, don't you? Most golfers delight more in golf than they do the Word of God. If you delight in fishing, then you spend more time on the lake than you do in the Word of God. And most fishermen delight more in fishing than they do in most ball players delight more in ball than they do in the Word of God. And we could go right down the line. Most housewives delight more in cooking and coffee clutching and so on than they do in the Word of God. Did I hit your button yet? Most working men delight more in their work than they do in the Word of God. Spend a lot more time at it. And to not delight in the Word of God really means, you know, we can give lip service to it. Oh, I love the Word of God. But the most word we hear is when we come to church. It ought not to be like that. See, when we come to the Lord's house, we already ought to have a heart full of the Word of God. We ought to get more when we're here. But if this is your main spiritual meal every week, then there's something really lacking in your spiritual life. And around this time of year might be a good time to think about that. Behold the word of the Lord, because they have no delight in it, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. Actually, it becomes a mocking for them. Verse 11 says, therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. This is Jeremiah. He said, I'm just feeling this on the inside of me. It's about to consume me. I'm weary with holding it in. Therefore, I'm going to pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. And I don't feel this way today, by the way. I'm not full of the fury of the Lord. I don't feel this way about us or you or that. This passage of Scripture just struck me this week in terms of putting us in remembrance of the things that are really important to us. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days, and their houses shall be turned unto others with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. God was promising here to bring a furious invader into the land of Israel. Basically, he was saying, if you will not have a delight in the things of God, then I'm going to bring you to ruin. I'm going to allow the tormentors to come into your life. I'm going to allow these foreign invaders to come in and really mess things up. And oftentimes as Christians, we have things that are happening in our lives that we have difficulty with, and we're frustrated over them, and we wrestle with them. Why is this happening to me, Lord? Why is this going on? Why am I having so much trouble? Why are all of these calamities befalling me? And oftentimes we can point right to this, verse, the 10th verse, and incriminate ourselves, if I may use that term, and say the reason that these things are coming upon us is because we have lost our first love, and we've lost our love for the Word of God. I can tell you that a personal ministry in the Word of God for each and every one of us is beneficial to you. It will prosper you. It'll prosper your physical bodies. It'll keep you healthier. It'll prosper your families. It'll prosper your businesses. It'll prosper your life. It just will. The Word of God has the power to do that. And when you stay out of the Word of God, or where you make it of minimal value in your life, you really are denying yourself the fullness of the blessings of the Lord. Verse 13 says, for from the least of them even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. We want the things that we don't have. And from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. In other words, they are comforting one another, oh, everything's going to be all right, without really getting to the root of the problem. And the root of the problem was the relationship that these people had to their God. And the reason that they had a problem with their relationship with God is they had a problem with their relationship to His Word. Verse 15 says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. In other words, those that declared themselves to be godly will fall with the ungodly. One, what happens to one will happen to the other. And then the 16th verse is the one I want you to reflect on today. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Now, think about that. Think about that verse. What is God saying? Don't be always looking for something new. Don't be dissatisfied with the things that are old, just because they're old. They're tried, and they're true. Don't always be looking for new revelations. The old revelations are perfectly satisfactory to carry you through. What he's saying is that running from house to house and from meeting to meeting and from place to place and from thrill to thrill is not the answer. The answer is stand in the ways you already know. See, open your eyes, open your spiritual eyes. You know the truth. You've heard the truth. You've experienced the truth. You've walked in the truth. Walk in what you already know. Stand in what you already know. There's nothing wrong with the old paths just because they're old. Just because you know, I tasted my first steak 50 years ago. I still like it. Amen. If it was good then, it's good now. Ask for the old paths. Ask for those paths. Lord, you remember the places that you led me in when I first knew you? Lord, you remember the paths that we walked together when I first met you? Everybody thought I was crazy, but I was so crazy in love with you. Lord, take me back to those old paths. Take me back to those old places. Do you remember, Lord, how it was when I met somebody that I knew didn't know you, and how my mouth was filled with your praise and my mouth was filled with your word, and I was just looking for someone to witness to and someone to share with, and I just loved to find a sick person because I loved to lay hands on them and pray for them for their healing. Lord, lead me back into those old paths again. Take me back to the old ways. Take me to the ways that I've known, and things have happened in my life, and maybe certain people have disappointed me, and perhaps I've lost my moorings, and I've slipped away from where I used to be, and I'm still saved, and you know I love you, and we're going to spend eternity together, but there's something missing. Take me back, Lord, to those old paths, because that was a good way. That was a good way. It was not a path that some men taught me about. It was a path that you showed me. Do you understand the difference? I think sometimes we want to walk in the path that someone else lays out for us instead of walking in the path that God is leading us in. We want to follow some person or some group instead of following the leader. Follow the leader. Everybody knows how to play follow the leader. But sometimes we want to follow the wrong leader. And then we forget. We forget that we started out following the Master. Ask for the old paths. Where is... Does this touch your heart like it does mine this morning? Where is the good way? The old paths. Where is the good way? And then he said, when you find them, ask God for those old paths, for the good way. And when you find them, then walk in them. Walk in them. Make a decision to ask God for those paths. They were good. And walk in them. And here's the promise. You'll find rest for your soul. You'll find peace for your emotions. You'll find rest. You'll find equilibrium. Now, your circumstances may not change all that much, but it won't matter. We sang this morning, "Fear not. For I'm with you. You will not." How's that go, John? You will not be drowned. No way. Somebody sang, "No way." Half of you were singing, "No way." You won't be drowned. You won't be burned. Doesn't say there won't be water. Doesn't say there won't be fire. But it does say you won't be burned or drowned. Why? Because I am with you. You'll find rest for your souls. Unfortunately, the children of Israel responded improperly in the negative. And they said, "We will not walk therein." Jeremiah said, "Find the old paths. Return to that place. Walk in that. Believe that way. Live that way. Talk that way." One of the things I find about Christians is that people get saved and they get their language cleaned up. You get really saved, your mouth is going to clean up just real quick. And after a while, some of that old language begins to creep back in. It's not very pretty. It's not very becoming. How does that happen? How does that happen? How does that happen? When you first got saved, you wouldn't think. You wouldn't think of letting some kind of unclean language cross your lips. But now it's cool again. When you first were saved and somebody offended you, you couldn't wait. Your spirit just jumped inside you until you went to that person and straightened that out. You wouldn't wait. But today it's no big deal. Why? Because we've forgotten the old paths wherein were the good ways. No delight in the Word of God. Verse 17, "And I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. I put Rock Hill in the pulpit, and he blew the horn. But they said, we will not hearken." He's just saying that to hear himself say it. No, Jeremiah wasn't, and neither am I. That is, we need the old ways. We need the good ways, and those ways are anchored in the Word of God. My word to you today, say, Pastor, what's your New Year's message? My New Year's message is go to the Word. Read the Word. Seek in the Word. Walk in the Word. This is a wonderful time for you to make a decision to read through your Bible this year. Read through it in a year. We have many children in our academy, don't we, Mrs. Campbell? Young children in our elementary school who are reading all the way through their Bible. Did that last year. Read all the way through it. It's not an undoable thing. Start at the beginning of the year. You're a little behind here at the fifth. But I tell you what you can do. A simple way. You go to the Christian bookstore and ask for a Bible reading plan. And they've, you know, get you a little book, and I think they probably have giveaways even that have. You can get little cards that have Bible reading programs on them. You can go buy a Bible that is organized for daily reading that'll take you all the way through it. Or you can do it very simply and just read 4 chapters a day, 6 days a week, and you'll be done about the middle of December. 4 chapters a day, 6. You can tell it's been a long time since I've counted on my fingers. I'm not a math major, thank you. 6 days a week, 4 chapters a day, and you'll be done in early December. So go home today, read 20 chapters, you'll be right on target. You think, 20 chapters? There are times when I will sit down and read the Word of God. I hope many of you are like this too. Sit down and begin to read just a little bit. And the next thing you know, 30 chapters have gone by and you don't even realize it. And when you're really into the Word of God, see, it's like being into God because He and His Word are one. John 1:1 says the Word was God. If you want to have fellowship with God, the best way I know how is to have it right here. Have it right here in His Word. This is where you fellowship with Him. Ask Him for the old paths. Ask Him for the good ways, and then walk in them. Amen. Whoa! Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for the witness of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we make a covenant with you today that we will delight in your word in 1997. That we will delight in it and desire it more than anything else. That we will give it truly first place in our lives and not just lip service. That our Bible will become our constant companion and our best friend. For in the Word, in the pages of this book, we find our God revealed to us. We find Him made personal and made real. We know you want to speak to us, Lord, but we know also that you don't rent airplanes and fly around our houses with messages on the tail. You want to speak to us, but only if we will open our ears and hearts and eyes to listen. And the most frequently, you want to speak to us through your word. Help us, Lord, to take this exhortation this morning and to act upon it and to be obedient to it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let me have everybody on their feet, please. Well, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Glory to the Lord our God. Glory to His wonderful name.
The Lord. the Lord ministered this to me and a while back, and I was thinking about it today before the service started. It's just a word of encouragement, and out of Matthew 3, verses 16 and 17, and y'all may have seen this 100 times. This may be just new to me, but it encouraged me when I saw it. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And I don't know about you, but I would love for the Lord to be well pleased with me. And I got to thinking, what did Jesus do up until this point that God would openly say, "I'm pleased with you"? He hadn't done anything in the ministry. He hadn't done one miracle. He hadn't even started his ministry. This was the start of his ministry. But God said, "I'm well pleased with you." And what that ministered to me was, just in my own circumstances, every day when you get up and sit at the table and teach the Bible to your daughter, you have school every day, you put dinner on the table every day, you pray every day, you read your Bible every day. It just seems sometimes so insignificant, you know, because I'm in my own little world, but I'm doing what God told me to do. And Jesus took care of his mom when his dad died. He worked in the carpenter shop up until that point, and he was 30 years old. And he had done nothing as far as going out and being on a big media screen. You know how sometimes we get Christianity mixed up with what's on TV. And Jesus had done nothing but be a son and be diligent to what he was supposed to do in the home. And he worked. He was a brother. And I just want to encourage you today that, you know, sometimes what we do, we plug along every day and life gets old. I mean, it just gets old. We get tired of doing what's right sometimes because it gets boring and it seems like it doesn't matter in the whole scheme of things. But Jesus was baptized and God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And I think that God's well pleased with us when we fulfill our everyday commitments that we're supposed to just do in our own lives, and do it as unto him. And I hope that encourages you today, along with this message. It's sort of like when you get your Bible out and read every day, sometimes it's dry, and sometimes 4 chapters seems like 20. And other times 20 seem like 1. But you just keep on keeping on and keep on keeping on. And God says the word is profitable for all things. Bodily exercise profiteth little, but the word of God is profitable for all things. So I just want to encourage him in that scripture.
Anyone else have a word they want to share before we're dismissed this morning? Anyone want to sing a solo or preach a sermon? Give an offering? He's the one. Amen. Amen. Yeah. That word's for you. Just grab a hold of it. Anyone else today? You know, the Spirit of the Lord wants to use all his people. He doesn't just use the so-called professionals, right? Because the same Spirit who dwells in me also lives in you. And he's called me to this particular office, but it doesn't mean that he can't speak or minister or touch somebody's life through one of you. In fact, he wants to do that. All right. Well, let's just lift our hands towards the Lord and just bless him, and then we'll be dismissed. Lord, we bless you and thank you for the service today. We thank you and praise you for your presence among us today. We thank you for the ministry of music and song to express what's in our hearts. We ask you to continue to write through Christian musicians good songs, good worship songs that release what we're feeling in our hearts. We thank you for the proclamation of your word. We thank you for the supernatural manifestation of your presence today. We thank you for our musicians and for our leaders. We thank you for our elders, Father, and for their service to us today in the supper of the Lord. We praise you and magnify you. Thank you for the privilege of being in your house this day. In Jesus' name, amen.